Good evening, everyone. It's good to see you. It's good to be together tonight. Thank you to the band. Thank you, Fiona, for choosing those pieces that were so helpful. As we come to think on the theme tonight of justification and what it means to be justified. We're continuing this series, Who Am I? And last week we thought about what it means to be in Christ. We thought about two representatives that the Bible outlines, and that is Adam and Jesus Christ. Everyone who is born is in Adam. As the first man, he is the representative of the human race. And the consequence of Adam's sin falls to us all. That consequence is death, and spiritual death, and separation from God. But in contrast, those who are in Christ are represented by Christ. They are given spiritual life and are no longer separated from God. Now, there are many implications of what it means to be in Christ. And as I said, the first that we are going to think about this evening is that in Christ we are justified. Who am I? I am justified. So before we think about that this evening, let's bow our heads and let's pray and ask for God's help. Father, we again thank you for the privilege and the blessing of meeting around your word. And we thank you that we have your word. We thank you that it is your word. So we would ask you to speak to us. And we want to hear from you as we consider this idea of justification and what it means to be justified. Will you give us understanding? And will you give us clarity? And will you give us thankful hearts for all that you have done for us in Christ? So please lead us now and speak to us. And we ask through Jesus Christ. Amen. So as we think about what it means to be justified or justification, there are three questions which we want to consider. Firstly, what does it mean to be justified? Secondly, how can I become justified? And thirdly, how do I live in light of the fact that I am justified? So firstly, what does it mean to be justified? John Calvin referred to the term justification as the foremost pillar of religion. Justified or justification, it's a legal term. It's a courtroom term. And it comes through an individual's obedience to a law. But this is where we find ourselves in a predicament, in a spiritual predicament. God is holy. He has a law. There are over 600 Old Testament laws. There, Jesus sums them up in Matthew 22. He says, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." And now, it's not difficult to assess ourselves and to know that we have not loved God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and we have not loved our neighbor as ourselves every second of every day. Paul says in Galatians 2, he says that a person is not justified by works of law. So we see, spiritually speaking, that justified, to be justified, this is not a term given to those who have been able to keep all of God's law. Spiritually speaking, justification is something that is declared about us by God. To be justified before a holy God, we must be declared holy, without sin, and blameless. And so we ask, how can this happen? 2 Corinthians 5 is very helpful in thinking about how this can happen. You can turn to the verse, 2 Corinthians 5 and 21. God's word says, "For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." Now let's think about what this means. As I have already said, on our own it is impossible to make ourselves right before God, to be justified, to completely obey God's law. So God did something about this. He made him, that is Jesus Christ, to be sin, him who knew no sin. Jesus came from God, not Adam. He had no sin. He had no sinful desires. He was tempted, but no sinful response. He alone was able to keep God's law perfectly. So God made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. The life that Adam couldn't live, and the life that we couldn't live, Christ lived perfectly while on earth. And when Christ died, he took our sin, he took our punishment, he took God's wrath. And so at the cross we see that our sin is transferred to Christ, and our punishment is transferred to Christ, and his righteousness is transferred to us. Now, that doesn't mean that we instantly become righteous, that we are without sin. As believers, human experience will tell us that although we are declared righteous in God's sight, we still struggle with sin every day. But as it's often been described, it is just as if I had never sinned, or it is just as if I had lived perfectly. We still sin, but the difference is our sin can no longer condemn us. Sin's penalty no longer applies to us because Jesus has taken the punishment and condemnation for us, and we go free. We are not guilty. And you say to me, really? Is it that easy? So what's the catch? The gospel is counterintuitive. It doesn't follow our normal logic. We say you do the crime, you pay the time. Someone else doesn't take it for you. The gospel says, yes, they have. The crime was yours, the punishment was Christ's. You continue doing the crime, but yet are forgiven for sins past, present, and future. 1 Peter 2:24, he himself bore our sins in his body on the tree that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. And the technical term for this transfer of sin and righteousness is imputed sin and imputed righteousness. God imputes our sin and guilt on Christ, and he imputes Christ's righteousness on us, making us justified. We say, yes, but can God really declare someone righteous who quite blatantly is not? The answer to that is yes. Romans 4 tells us God justifies the ungodly. Romans 5, Fiona read it for us, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And we thought last week about being dead spiritually because of the consequences of sin. And we realize this week that to be justified means that we can actually be raised to life because Jesus has taken the punishment for our sin. And an amazing thought on this, Jesus Christ took this punishment voluntarily. John 10, Jesus says, "For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay my life down that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord." So what does it mean to be justified? It means your sins are forgiven. It means they cannot condemn you. And it means you are not guilty because God declares you righteous because of the exchange or the transfer that took place at the cross. So we thought about what it means to be justified. Well, now you've got to ask then, how can I become justified? And there's a very simple answer to that. Justification comes by faith in Christ. Romans 3, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by his grace, some translations say freely by his grace, as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood to be received by faith. Romans 5, again, which was read to us earlier, says, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And back to Galatians 2, where we began this evening, says, yet we know that a person is not justified by works of law, but through faith in Jesus Christ. But we do want to be careful, though, when we consider the role of faith in justification. I hope you see that it's very clear from Scripture that we are justified by faith. So does that then mean that for our justification, God does his part, we do our part, and then the two allows us to become justified? What we don't want to think is that our faith saves us or our faith justifies us. But rather, our faith is the means by how our justification is received. Romans 3 says we are justified freely by his grace, but it is to be received by faith. Think of any time you have received a present. And when you thank the one who has given the gift, do you also thank yourself for your part in physically receiving the gift? Well, no, of course we don't. That would almost seem absurd. Our groom at a wedding will almost always give thanks for the gift that he and his bride has received. Imagine he stood up and said, I want to thank you all for the lovely gifts that we have received, but we also want to thank ourselves and pay tribute to ourselves for receiving those gifts. Well, that would appear, in that case, disrespectful or maybe even rude. Martin Lloyd-Jones says, the man who has faith is the man who is no longer looking at himself and no longer looking to himself. He no longer looks at anything he once was. He does not look at what he is now. He does not look at what he hopes to be. He looks entirely to the Lord Jesus Christ and his finished work. And he rests on that alone. Tim Keller says, and faith is simply coming to God with empty hands. And if we don't understand this, then we will be quickly looking to ourselves. And if faith is throwing ourselves on Christ, recognizing that we can do nothing to justify ourselves, but simply accept what Christ has done for us and receive what is given to us, well, then that allows us no room to bring credit to ourselves. How can I become justified? I become justified by receiving God's free gift to me in Christ. So we have thought about what it means to be justified and how we become justified. Now we want to think about how we live in light of the fact that we are justified, or what difference does it really mean to us or really make to us? What difference does that make to our identity? What difference does it make to who we are? Who am I? I am justified. I read an article just on Friday past about the link between social media usage and depression. It says social media is fueling a surge of depression, anxiety, and self-harm, and this is particularly in young women. It's basically, it's talking about this task that we often set ourselves of justifying ourselves before other people. We try to prove our worth through various means. And often in doing this, we live in a state of what is called the fear of man. And this article in particular mentioned women's fear of being fat. I was thinking about this. You can imagine how it goes on Facebook. Someone goes along the slimming world, and they get slimmer of the week, they get their badge on, thumbs up, get a photo straight on Facebook. But then someone they know checks their news feed, and they see this photo, and they don't automatically say, oh, look, hasn't so-and-so done well? They look at themselves and say, I'm so fat. Self-esteem is down the chute, that they're not slim. Tell themselves they need to be slimmer, and they think, well, this slimmer is going to be thought of more than me because they're slimmer. Or you check your news feed and you see a group of friends out for tea and you think, why was I not included? Suddenly you have a feeling of fear of being left out and not valued. So I feel at times in the Christian life we just seem to sway with the wind. Our confidence and assurance seem so easily shaken. And I believe it's so easily shaken because we look to all of these external factors. We need to look to who we are in Christ. In Him we are justified. We are accepted and approved by the God, by the judge of all the earth. And we need to view all these other things in light of the contentment that comes from knowing we are justified and have peace with God. Second thing to think about, does anyone here ever feel guilty as a Christian? Guilty we don't read our Bibles enough. Guilty that we don't pray enough. Guilty that we're not going to enough meetings. When you're in work, you maybe feel guilty that you're not at home, but when you're at home, you feel guilty that you're not doing work. You feel guilty that you lose it with your children. And so the list could just go on and on and on. And of course, sometimes guilt does come as a result of sin, and this can affect our experience of justification. And we will think about this in the coming weeks. But the point I want to make here, and that I want us to be really clear on tonight, is that even sin will not change God's love and acceptance and approval of you. He justified you when you were ungodly. The sins you have committed today and the sins you will commit tomorrow, those are forgiven sins. Jesus has already took the punishment for those sins at the cross. And we can quickly become very focused on how well we are doing in the Christian life. And in one sense, we want to be thinking like that, but there is also a danger that it can take our focus and our desires off Christ Himself and what He has done for us. And when we begin looking at ourselves, then we say, well, you're not good enough because you're not going to enough meetings or you're not doing this, that, or the other thing. And essentially what we're doing is we are judging ourselves and we're taking the place of God because He has already judged us not guilty because of Christ's sacrifice. So if you feel guilty, you say, God, I am leaving the judgment to you. I am not going to take your place. And I will rest in the fact that you have declared me not guilty because of Christ's work on the cross. Finally, third thing to think about. To know that we have been justified is the motivation that we need for growing in holiness. Of course, there's a lot of talk today about being you, being true to yourself. Be who you are. And you know, for you to grow in holiness and display holiness is to be who you are. And I think we often approach this from the wrong angle. We were thinking about this actually in home group a couple of weeks ago. We often think in terms of sin management, that is, the things that we should and shouldn't do in order to become more holy. But what we need to realize is who we are in Christ. Because only when we realize who we are in Christ can we begin to become more like Him. And so we want to look to Christ. We want our desire first and foremost to be for him. And that in turn then, all of life, our thought processes, the way we treat our families, the way we act at work, would just be a natural flow of the realization of who we are in Christ. Who am I? Who are we? We are justified. We will be presented to God holy and blameless and above reproach. And this means that we live with assurance and with confidence and with a deep contentment, because our justification is resting on what Christ has done. And that brings us great security. It brings us peace. And it brings us joy.